to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Monday. I'm going to tell you something. For as long as I can, I'm going to talk about the government shutdown, because this is, for me at least, a truly epic moment. Because for as long as I can remember, these government shutdowns, whenever they've been threatened, they almost always result in Republicans blinking. The Republicans do not want to get painted as the Scrooges that are shutting down government, closing parks, you know, preventing school children from visiting, going on field trips, working class families going and seeing the Statue of Liberty and the like. Because the shutdown, really what it affects is non-essential services and parks, among other things, that type generally fit the bill. And furloughed workers and that type of thing, obviously, bad optics. Because Republicans, we know this from watching CNN and MSNBC, we know that they are evil, that they are not the friends of the working class. That most Republicans, when they set off to work in Congress in the morning, they look in the mirror and decide, how am I going to screw blue-collar people? So it's against this backdrop that Republicans always cave. They just give up the ghost. They say, all right, we can't be those uncompassionate conservatives. We have to care. And so consequently, Democrats are very accustomed to bootstrapping onto spending bills their pet projects, running out the clock and sitting back watching Republicans fold. Because the next day, no matter how absurd the bolt-on was, which in this case was DACA. So you're hammering out a budget. And you're up against the clock, and Congress controls the purse strings, right? So Congress basically is sitting there saying, well, we gotta reauthorize a bill for spending, otherwise government runs out of money. And the Democrats come along and says, we want to add DACA. We want to allow deferred action for these young, supposedly young, and although in some cases they're adults, children that have been brought here, people that have been brought here by their parents illegally. That's not their fault. Their parents brought them. Okay, so you see how with this particular issue, nothing to do with the bill itself, nothing, nada, zip. Well, there's a new sheriff in town, and I am absolutely amazed. Let me tell you, friends, I am absolutely amazed that the Senate Republicans held firm on this one. And it's exactly what happened. And I know, by the way, how do I know that it was successful? I know it's successful because all the people out there who were more, I mean, what did we see this weekend? Didn't we see a bunch of women's race marches? We had one down here in Santa Ana. My understanding is that there were a lot of people that marched for equality and rights. But part of the background behind all of this, by the way, all these marches that were out there across the country, it was a show of force of liberal activists to send a message to Washington that Trump is evil, Trump is bad, Republicans are evil, we need to be compassionate, we need to love all people, we need to take care of people, we need to blah, 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 blah. And that's why you saw signs not just about equality, not just about women's rights and that type of thing, not just about hashtag Me Too and, you know, enough is enough, but also there were lots and lots of signs about immigration. And I know that the Republicans won on this issue because of how these liberal activists today are reacting. And they are seething. They are seething. They are furious. They feel completely betrayed by Democratic senators. And they feel like they have just absolutely been betrayed. There's a collection in the Daily Caller, a collection of tweets, of echoes through the Twitter sphere from various blue check. You know, this is the verified Twitter accounts of progressive kook nuts. And you've got this one. I don't even know who these people are. Leah Clean from Dream. She says, millions of people flooded the streets of every major American city to stand up to Trump. this weekend. Your constituents want you to fight. How can you possibly not understand that? Cristina Jimenez. Congress votes on a three-week CR. That's a resolution to continue spending. Without hashtag Dream Act, Dems fail to fight and use their leverage to protect immigrant youths. A false promise to vote on immigration from Republicans is not a strategy to win. We won't be fooled. This vote means deportation. Won't stop fighting. Dream Act now. And so it continues. Even CNN is lamenting this. I mean, the opinion pages of CNN.com right now, and by that I mean the general news section, is filled with regret over how this all has played out. So this is good news, and I'll tell you why. It shows to me that congressional Republicans are finally figuring out that they've got a president who's willing to take some leadership. I love it, because after years... No, years. Well, a year now. Yeah, a year and boom, count the election, years of fighting Trump, of this ridiculous and phony never Trump resistance movement within the Republican Party. Republicans are finally figuring out that, you know, they've got a president that has a backbone. They're also realizing they got a president who's willing to take the heat for some of these issues like immigration that they themselves might feel is unpopular, but realize that they are. Well, they are in a losing position themselves at this point. I'm going to explain this because as a consequence of today's news, there have been some interesting reverberations in the mainstream media. And one of those that particularly caught my ear is a Fareed Zakaria. Now, you know, he's a contributor and also has a host. He's got a show on GPS on Sunday. And this is right when news of what was going to happen began to spread, that the Democrats were going to cave and there was going to be a bill sent today to Trump. And he doesn't address that. He addresses immigration as an issue that is alienating the Democratic base. See, the Democratic base, who do you think the Democratic base is? Because this isn't just a story about... This isn't just a story about a spending bill, right? I try to always explain the broader context to something that's going on currently, right? So yes, the government is open again. People are getting paid. You know, parks are going to be open tomorrow because Trump signed this thing in hours ago, maybe 2 hours ago. So everything's good now. But what does this all mean? You know, in the background, the context is that the Democrats weren't willing to die on the immigration issue. They were not willing to fight a battle to the death on immigration. Because the reason we had a shutdown is the Democrats all refused to vote for any spending increase or any spending extension, excuse me. So if there wasn't a protection in there for DACA or provision in there for DACA. And I sense that there is perhaps a broader realization, and I say this because I'm now, if you're hearing this on CNN, you realize that this is something that's being talked about in the hallways and annals of the liberal elite. And it is a realization that perhaps immigration is not the issue that Democrats want to be running on. And it has to do with their base. Who's the Democratic Party base? That's where I was. So who's the Democratic Party base? Well, some would say it's these liberal nutjob activists. It's the, you know, it's the meow meow hat crowd. The hashtag me too. Environmentalists, whatnot. But, you know, historically speaking, the base of the Democratic Party has been working class, blue collar people. And it's that working class that didn't show up to vote for Hillary. And instead, many of whom went over to Trump. And it had to do with populism, right? The idea that, you know, Trump's the guy that's looking out for me. He's the guy who wants to bring jobs back. He wants to, that steel mill that closed in my town is decimated thing 15 years ago. You know, I'm tired of hearing from the Democrats about the environment. The environment don't mean a hill of beans to me. I don't give a crap about global warming. I care that I don't have a job. And Trump succinctly captured that message and consequently stole broad swaths of the electorate of votes away from Democrats. He did that. And even, even at CNN, they're beginning to recognize this. Here is Fareed Zakaria talking about Democrats and immigration. And this is, folks, this is a rare moment of clarity on the immigration issue and how it relates to the Democratic Party today.
Donald Trump, remember, beat 16 talented Republican candidates because he outflanked them all on one issue, immigration. Meanwhile, Democrats continue to move left on economics, believing that this will make them more credible populists. But polling shows that the public is already with them on economic issues. Where it, and the working class especially, differs with them is on immigration. And yet, the party is now more extreme on this topic than it has ever been. Positions that dozens of Democratic senators took on immigration 10 years ago are now totally rejected by almost every Democratic Party leader. Most, for example, would have agreed that America's current mix of immigration skews too heavily toward family unification and needs to attract more immigrants with skills. Now none will speak on the issue. The party today embraces sanctuary cities, suggesting that local authorities should ignore federal laws or even defy federal authorities who try to enforce the law of the land. Imagine if Republican mayors did the same with regard to laws they don't like on, say, guns or abortion.
Hey! And that is a great point. Can you imagine, by the way, if over in Texas, the governor decided to say, Roe versus Wade, what's that? I mean, hell's bells. It'd be the end of the world. I mean, and rightly so, because Roe v. Wade, like it or not, is the law of the land. And we have to be a nation of laws. If you don't like the law, challenge it in court. Elect some new legislators. Fix it. We have a democracy, after all. But what's happening in California is you've got a state acting sua sponte, meaning on its own, in an unlawful way, in contravention of federal law. If you don't like the federal law, change it. But the broader issue here, right, what he's saying, is that the Democrats have gone so far to one extreme on illegal immigration that they're alienating, right? When you parse through all those words, what is he saying? They're alienating a blue-collar people. For blue-collar people, jobs, jobs, jobs. It's not the environment. It's not equality. It's not all the others. It's jobs. An economic message wins elections. And I will tell you, it's very tough to sell a person who is sitting in a little town somewhere that has a decimated economy, a shuttered factory, or somebody who's competing for farm jobs with undocumented migrants, right? And to sell that person, I don't care if they are a fifth-generation Democrat. It is extremely difficult to sell that person on the idea of an open border, because they may not understand the finer points of supply and demand in the labor market, but they certainly understand the reality on the ground where they live in their lives. And that, friends, is where we are. And if you're a Republican, you want to see another 4 years of making America great again, this is excellent news. I do not see the Democrats finding their way on this. I don't care how many Fareed Zakarias come out of the woodwork to say, hello, you got a problem here. You don't want to tax so far left. Whoop, 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 back it up. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, I don't care. They're not going to hear it. Well, you mean California is registering illegal aliens to vote automatically. Have you heard this? No, this has to do with driver's licenses. Does it fit into this issue? Yes, yes. I'm going to get to it. Just give me a minute. Craziness. I tell you, there's also another thing in the background here, which is economy, right? Immigration ties into the economy. It's not just jobs. You want an economy that's booming, that's great. And if the economy is booming and great in a year from now, in 2 years, because already we've had 1 year of Donaldus Magnificus in office, right? To the 20th, two days ago, 1 year since the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. But what you have, what you have now, actually, a lot of people are looking at this and are admitting, hey, we've got things are good, you know? I mean, and Trump's winning on issues. Remember the whole story about 3 months ago was Trump's got a bunch of losses. He's tried this, he's tried that. It's turning around. And people vote based on their economic circumstances. And for the people out there that voted for those swing states, right, or we call them those blue states that ended up going for Trump, for those people, they got to choose between Trump, who's restoring an economy, who's got better economic conditions on the ground. They can feel it. They can sense it. They've got money, more money in their pocket. They're going to choose between that and some Democrat running to bring in an unlimited amount of illegal immigrants. I don't think so. Not a selling deal. Yeah, I'm going to, right when we get back, yeah, this there's a great story here with these illegal aliens getting registered to vote automatically. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I got so excited about everything going on, forgot to give you the number, 800-222-5222. That's the number to reach me. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Well, we live in the nuttiest state. We know this. And speaking of illegal immigration, we now have a consequence of a motor voter bill, which is, we hear this periodically being used. The motor voter, the idea is that most everybody needs a car to get around. And so consequently, they need a driver's license. And so it is an easy one-step way to sign people up to vote at the same time that they're getting a driver's license. And I want to, well, yeah, so the news is right now California will begin as the result of a lawsuit brought about by, among other people, the group La Raza. I wonder what their agenda is, right? As a result of this lawsuit, California will now not require you to go register to vote independently of getting a driver's license. So you get a driver's license, you're automatically enrolled to vote unless you opt out. Great. Do you remember, let me just, time machine. Get in the Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation DeLorean. And go back a little ways, and do you remember the big brouhaha that we had here in California about driver's licenses for illegals? And, well, reasonable people said, this is ridiculous. Can't do this. This is a one-step. They're going to use it as voter ID. Everyone said, no, this is not going to be used for voter ID. We're not. This has nothing to do with voting. We want illegals to come out of the shadows and to pass driving tests. And, you know, we don't want... You know, wait, we don't want people that are illegal and unlicensed operating vehicles out on the road. And it was convincing. It was a convincing argument, right? Because, you know, you drive. I drive. I'm out on the road. Plus, I'm a personal injury attorney, and I've seen some stuff. And so we all kind of get, all right, I got it. Okay, we want these people who are here anyway. We're living in the shadows. I got it. We want them to go to the DMV and show us that they at least know how to operate a damn car. Well, la-di-da, here we are. And by the way, this lawsuit wasn't even, they just caved, right? This whole thing was orchestrated from the get-go. California, the Democrats here in the state have had an agenda when it comes to illegal immigration. That's it. They want as many illegals voting in the state as possible because it benefits them. They realize that this was their big power grab. California is a different state today than it was 30 years ago. And the Delta is not a bunch of kooky liberals in Silicon Valley. The big change that has occurred is an enormous influx of undocumented immigrants that are in the shadows, that are living. Well, and because it's not because they're illegal that they're living in the shadows. It's because they're not integrating. There's too many of them. We're not picking and choosing the best of the best. We're not bringing in doctors and lawyers from Mexico. We're not bringing in nurses. We're not bringing in skilled mechanics. We're bringing in whoever can run across the border fastest. And I don't know if that's a good. And as a reminder of Harry Potter and the Sorting Hat, I don't think that's a good way to select a group of people. immigration policy has got to be about selecting the best that as we see fit for our needs relative to what the, you know, what the current situation is in the economy and in our society. But for the Democrats, this has always been a political play. So the background of the story, when you saw this outrageous headline today and said, whoa, we're registering illegals. Yeah, but this thing has been in the works for a while. And this is why many people got up, including me, and shouted about this bill in the beginning, because we saw, you know, this is they're so transparent. These guys are just absolutely transparent. So October 2015 is when this law came about originally, and now it's done. So anyway, if you're a Republican in the state, please vote. I got to tell you, we need every warm body we can get. And if you're a Republican in the state and you don't have a driver's license, or you've opted out for whatever reason, get registered. Because man, it's nuts. It's nuts. And the end goal of this is to change the makeup of Congress. We have so many congressional districts in the state that it can make or break a Republican majority in Congress. And that, my friends, is frightening. All right. More on the economy. Also, I got a letter from my kid's school. I'm going to share that with you. Hilarious stuff in light of all this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790. We got John Wolfe up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
All right, here we go. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, we were just having a chat about California racing to register illegal aliens to vote by hoovering up information from driver's licenses and automatically registering everybody to vote who's received a driver's license. So this is all very exciting stuff if you are a avowed leftist. And looking to remake the political landscape of the state, certainly. But I have to share something with you. Where is this? Oh my goodness! All right, so we got this letter from our kids' school. So our kids go to a public school, and wow! Apparently, we have taken them out of school too many times this school year. Now, I don't know how you what are your philosophies when it comes to taking kids out of school? For me, it's, you know, I mean, if there's a family vacation and we're going somewhere, and I'm not talking necessarily Disney World, we don't do those kind of trips. But, you know, if we're going someplace interesting or we're going to spend spend time together as a family. I'm sorry. The first grade and the fourth grade, because I've got two kids in elementary school, are just not that important relative to the time that we get to spend together. I work a lot, have long hours. You know, as you know, I work during the day and then I'm doing this at night. So this to me is very, you know, this is just a no-brainer. But it's funny to me, the schools, well, they need the dollars, right? They need the buns in the chair, so they need the dollars. So here's what I'm getting threatened with. The district also shall inform parents of the following. Okay, there. Apparently, I could be referred to police. Oh, let me see. Where is this? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my driving privilege may be suspended. I mean, hell, we got illegals coming to the state, sanctuary state, getting registered to vote, even though they are not qualified. You are not allowed to vote if you're not a citizen, right? I mean, that's what's hilarious about it. But I could have my voting privilege suspended because I'm going on too many family trips with my kids. Mind blown. Now, the good news is, I'll tell you right now, is that this is all the language that the poor principal has to put in the letter. And he's given some, you know, leeway on how to prosecute these things. So anyway, I'm going to have to go in and plead for mercy. But what a load of garbage. All right. Now, as we are talking about the economy and the 2016 election. What, by the way, right now has been CNN's big case against Trump? A case against Republicans in general, right? There's collusion. There's Trump Russia. You know, and it's been pushed and pushed since basically we had a whiff of Trump winning on election night. You think they're having some second doubts, second thoughts? Listen to this. This is Maeve Reston, CNN reporter, talking about on Sunday, CNN Inside Politics. She's lamenting, making two big admissions here. See if you catch them. Listen.
You are starting to see that uneasiness about the economy sort of dissipate. Remember, even in 2016, mm-hmm. when we went out to these swing states and talked to voters, there was still this fear that things were suddenly going to turn down again. You don't feel that as much anymore. And I'm so interested to see how the Russia investigation affects things, because so far out in these districts, when you talk to people about Russia, and that's all we talk about at CNN, basically, they say they don't care. It doesn't have any effect on their lives. So what is that turning point at which that really becomes an election issue? Does it cast a cloud over Trump? Does it really affect these House races? I don't think that we're seeing that quite yet, and it'll be really interesting to watch.
Ah! So what two things did they admit? Well, you know, For one, I'm not sure people are buying this. I'm not. And also, by the way, Trump Russia is all that we are talking about here on CNN. Man, what is this a turnaround? I mean, between this and Fareed Zakaria, you see this? And by the way, you go to CNN.com like right now. 7:41, go to CNN.com, and all you see is, oh gosh, I think Trump won on this one. Democrats gave up the ghost. Turn around? Perhaps. Sam Rojofsky, CM Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, my lawyer, my champion, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy to call if you've been in an accident. If you've been run over by a clown on a unicycle, if you've been torpedoed by a submarine, whatever the case is, give James and his team a phone call. Very easy to remember his phone number, I think, at least, because I remember it most of the time that I'm doing these spots. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Over $400 million collected for his clients. And this is a guy, listen, easy to talk to. Give his people a call. All consultations are free. No recovery, no fee. So really, it's easy, super easy. So here's what you do. Call 800-881-2021 or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Switzerland last week announced that they're rejecting citizenship bids of residents who have been on welfare. Very simple. You come into the country, you can't just come into a country. You've got to apply for residency, right? Do it at the front doorway. And so people that they've brought in, and this, by the way, mostly means migrants that they've accepted. Switzerland has admitted a few. A lot of them aren't working. This is a problem. And their solution to it is you don't get citizenship. How's that for an idea? Well, liberals in the country are freaking out. But anyway, there's a new law requiring migrants to demonstrate a greater level of integration. And one of that, they have to not only show that they're working, they also have to prove that they have a certain number of Swiss friends and acquaintances. Whew, that's an interesting one. But do you see what they're trying to accomplish there? It makes sense. The objective to a sound immigration policy ought to be integration of those immigrants. And that's, by the way, we talk about, you hear CNN all the time right now talking about the give us your poor, your huddled, your masses, you know, the Statue of Liberty stuff, Ellis Island, and that the glory years back when we allowed immigrants and not these mean, wascally Republicans who, yet Trump, he doesn't want anyone in the country who doesn't look like him. Yeah. So anyway, with all of that swirling in the background, right, back during the Ellis Island years, what did we care about? We wanted people to integrate. And immigrants came here and became proud Americans. you know, and certainly learned the language and integrated into society and became very successful. We need to continue that. And the way we continue it is, you know, just, I mean, look, when people were interned in Ellis Island to make sure that they weren't carrying diseases and to make sure that everything was in order and that they were of a quality that we would accept. Can't say that now. Not politically correct. But anyway, in Switzerland, they actually going as far as say, look, hey, show us that you've got some, you know, local friends. So anyway, I think that's actually an important point. Switzerland can afford to do this kind of thing because a lot of things are a lot more. Many functions of government are far more localized than they are in most places. Switzerland is a true confederacy. It has a very weak central government, and each of the regions, the states, and some of them are just more or less the size of a city, right? They're like city states, are very independent. And you'll have different tax rates, different laws. But by and large, there's a lot of autonomy left to the local population. And this system works very well. And it's worked hundreds of years, over 700 years. So this allows them to really meet the needs of everybody there. And they're also able to look at individual applicants like this and say, all right, let's sit down. Let's have a talk. Let's do an interview. That's a little trickier to do here. Okay. All of this swirling, I do want to get into, and I will next hour. I'm going to talk about there's a few different issues going on. There are a ton of text messages missing between the top investigator, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page that were working on the Clinton email scandal. And it's not necessarily about when those emails how many emails are missing, but the time period that is missed. So I'll talk about that. I also want to get to this memo. So that'll be at the top of the hour. Don't worry, I got a few more things here for our last segment this hour, and we'll talk soon. I'll be right back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Did you have a bad day at work today? How about on Friday? Well, if you are a physical education teacher at Carthay Center Elementary School, you had a terrible day on Friday because you had some sort of psychic split, or I don't know what they call this, a break from reality. And this guy, the PE teacher at this elementary school, decides to just get undressed. Takes off all of his clothes and starts running around naked on the playground. And there's a construction worker that captured the whole thing on video. One parent reported that kids saw all of his private parts. Very embarrassing, very upset, was the quote. The school said an individual began behaving in an unusual way. I think, yes, agreed, prompting us to contact law enforcement. As a safety precaution, our school went on a brief lockdown while officers responded and took the individual into custody. One thing I think is interesting in these cases is, you know, are you responsible for your actions if this is related to drugs? You remember the reporter, was this last week or the week before, a top local reporter, a sportscast reporter, I think it was in Texas maybe, suddenly went missing and turned out she'd had a bad reaction to drugs and to some of her medication that she took, and it caused her to basically go fall asleep under an overpass on a freeway. She was sleeping in the rough, basically, and went off grid. Didn't have her cell phone or wallet or anything. Well, she didn't necessarily do anything criminal. This guy has a huge problem. If you expose yourself to kids, you're going to have to register as a sex offender. And I think. I think he's got a good shot at he's going to have to come up very quickly with an explanation for this. Because what these cases always come down to is knowing right for wrong important to the offense. And this guy does not want to end up with a monitoring bracelet, you know, or with this Megan's Law profile up for the rest of his life. He wants to avoid that. He's definitely not going to work around kids again. That's for sure. But I think it's interesting. I think they're going to have to fight this with some sort of a really good documented mental breakdown, or perhaps some form of the medication made me do it. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. As promised, when we get back, I will get into this, there's two separate things going on out there. One has to do with the memo that was prepared by Adam Nunes, the head of the House Intelligence Panel, the Republican, Devin Nunes, excuse me, and then Adam Schiff has seen it, who's the ranking member, the Democrat. You heard he's a congressman from California. And a couple of others, people have been briefed on it as well. So far, it has not leaked, though I predict it will get out very, very soon. This memo, I believe, is a smoking gun in some form or other. And I'll explain why next. And also, we're going to get into the missing text messages. The FBI says, well, we just had a little, we were changing equipment. And so for about 6 months, we upgraded and we thought we were collected. 6 months went by. We had no idea that something we're required to do by law wasn't occurring. So I'll ask you if you believe that. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, will be back right after the news with John Wolf, who is up next.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So, what do we got here? We have got an interesting new development that began on Friday. Unfortunately, we were off, so I couldn't address it Friday night, but at any rate, on Friday, we learned that there is a memorandum that has been put together by Devin Nunes, and he is the congressman who heads the House Intelligence Panel. And the document is about 4 pages, is my understanding, and contains a summary of all the testimony so far into the probe, a House probe into the FBI. And their handling of the Clinton mess. Now, if you remember, the key timeline to the Clinton email scandal was investigation, okay? At some point, Loretta Lynch, who was then the head of the Justice Department as Attorney General, and therefore responsible for the FBI, and therefore the last, we'll call it, she had the last word on whether prosecution takes place, as the nation's top cop and top prosecutor. Loretta Lynch met with Bill Clinton. Remember this? The now infamous tarmac meeting. And that compromised her because now she's, you know, incommunicado, having a private conversation with a politically powerful, same party guy, Bill Clinton, while his wife is under investigation by her Justice Department. This is like you, let's say your wife is being investigated for something. You're talking to the prosecutor, having a cozy chat with him. And if there's another party in there who wants an independent deal, they have reason to raise concern. Now, Loretta Lynch did exactly, more or less, what Jeff Sessions did when the whole Trump-Russia thing came out, and that he met with Sisolak and was, you know, potentially tainted and had a conflict of interest. What did he do? He recused himself. And if you remember, this is what Loretta Lynch did. Loretta Lynch recused herself and put the investigation squarely into the hands of Jim Comey, the altar boy, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, Mr. I'm Above Politics. So in this context, right, the House Intelligence Committee has been investigating, did the FBI go easy on Hillary Clinton? And the pivotal figure in all of this, the pivotal figure is the lead investigator on this team. And the lead investigator was a guy named Peter Strzok. And Peter Strzok to put it lightly, was an avowed anti-Trumpist. Definitely a Democrat. And he has, some months ago, we saw an excerpted a number of text messages that he'd sent his then-girlfriend talking about the horrors, right, of the idea that Trump might get the nomination, that he might win the election. They talked about an insurance policy. They talked about things that needed to be done. But all of that, okay, all of that, the context for it is that this is a guy who is purportedly leading an independent investigation. This is a guy who purportedly was, an independent law enforcement officer, right? And who is he reporting to, right? He's reporting to Comey. And who's recused from all of this? Loretta Lynch. She has nothing to do with it. She can't be, by her own words, I'm going to put myself out of this, and I will take the recommendation that the FBI gives me as to whether or not to charge Secretary Clinton. Do you remember all that? Good. All of that history is extremely important. Because now we have new texts that suggest that Peter Strzok, that in those texts communicating with his girlfriend who also worked on the team, that Lynch knew about the Clinton exoneration well before Comey announced it. And this is one of the key crucial issues that is an enormous smoking gun. Now, the memo, unusually for something in Washington, has not been released. Nunez is holding on to it. And, anyway, Schiff doesn't want to see it released either. Representative Adam Schiff from California, he's the ranking member, so he's the top Democrat on the committee. And he gives a very perplexing explanation on Saturday to Anna Cabrera in the CNN newsroom on why we can't release the memo.
In a redux of the campaign, we have Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and Russian trolls and bots saying, you know, hashtag whatever the GOP narrative is. That ought to tell you a lot about what's driving this, and that is,
why not allow people
narrative.
To look at it and let Americans make the decision for themselves about whether it's useful information or not?
Well, because the American people, unfortunately, don't have the underlying materials, and therefore they can't see how distorted and misleading this document is. The Republicans are not saying make the underlying materials available to the public. They just want to make the spin available to the public, and I think that spin, which is a fulsome attack on the FBI, is just designed to attack the FBI and Bob Mueller to circle the wagons for the White House. And that's a terrible disservice to the people, hardworking people at the Bureau. But more than that, it's a disservice to the country.
Yeah. So you and I, I'm going to just translate this for you. You and I are too stupid and too uninformed to be able to read this memo and draw the appropriate conclusions. We're not going to get beyond the spin. How bad do you think this thing is? I don't think anybody really in the Obama administration comes out of this looking good. I'll be honest with you. So, now I'll remind you. That was Adam Schiff. That is the Democrat speaking about why he doesn't want the memo released. Well, here's Gloria Borges talk about spin on CNN. This was just today, talking to Wolf Blitzer about this memo. Now, she's talking about Nunez. Here she's accusing Nunez of not releasing the memo.
It's unprecedented that he would be accusing the FBI of something and not allow them to see what he's accusing them of. I mean, it's ridiculous on its face. And the FBI has a right to complain about it. And the president should say, you have to let the FBI see what you're accusing them of. But it's part of an effort to just discredit the FBI, which is, of course, investigating him.
Oh, well, first of all, I don't think the president has anything to do with the House Intelligence Committee. I mean, he certainly can influence the head of the committee, who's a Republican, and Nunez and Trump are close. But I don't think Trump calls any shots in Congress. We call that separation of powers. So that's one thing for Gloria. The other thing, do you love how Adam Schiff is going on the same network 2 days earlier talking about how, I don't want this thing released. I mean, there's not enough context. The American public is too stupid and too uninformed to understand this document. And 2 days later, Gloria Borges and other people, by the way, on CNN are doing what? They're complaining about Nunez not releasing the document. Fascinating stuff. This thing has got to be bad. And the context for this are the text messages that have now been this new batch that have been released. And also this allegation that about 6 months, little shy of 6 months worth of text messages have disappeared. The FBI was not keeping them. Now, the text messages that we're talking about are, these are text messages on government phones. And I want to make a little aside here, if I can. Permit me. Some of the stuff that they said was so brazen. I mean, yeah, we got to get an insurance policy if Trump wins. We got to do this. We got to do that. It was so brazen. And these are FBI agents, right? They know the protocols of the department. They understand that these phones that they're handed by the FBI, they happen to be Samsung Galaxy phones, that they have tracking software that, because it's a government phone, it requires that all emails, all communications, text messages, and everything be stored for an unlimited period of time. They get all of that. So one observation given that is, one, how sure of themselves were they that they were going to fix this election, Hillary was going to win, that there was nothing going to come out? And they were talking like this openly in their text messages, thinking that none of this would ever be examined. And two, the other thing I have to say is, they do, in the newly released text messages, mention, let's move this to iMessage, referring to the encrypted software used on iPhones for text messaging. So this is just the stuff that they said amongst themselves on phones they knew were being tracked. What the hell did they say on their iMessage? And by the way, the House Intelligence Committee is asking the same question, and there's talk now of issuing subpoenas to obtain their phone records. It's heating up, and it's heating up big time. And I love it. The missing months of text, the nearly 6 months between December 2016 and May 2017 is no small period of time. Not small when you consider all of the stuff that went down. For example, conversations between Trump and National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak were being recorded as a consequence of a FISA warrant. James Comey briefed the president-elect, Donald Trump, about the Trump dossier. The president was inaugurated. Flynn's interview with the FBI, which, by the way, was conducted by who? Peter Strzok, the same guy that's writing these text messages about Trump being Satan and about being the worst person ever, and we got to do everything we can to stop him. This time period covered Jeff Sessions' recusal, a firing of Sally Yates, the top holdover administration official over in the Justice Department, Trump's firing of Comey, and then finally, of course, it also involves the appointment of Robert Mueller. And then Strzok did what? He went from working on the Clinton thing to being a lead investigator for Bob Mueller. And he took all of these prejudices to the Mueller probe. What does Peter Strzok want? His entire agenda is laid bare, is the skeletons are all there just waiting to be found. And he's got an eager president who's looking to clear his name on all this nonsense. So for Peter Strzok, I'm telling you, this is a race against the clock for his personal exoneration. What better way than to throw anything and everything he can at Trump and follow the pipe dream of impeachment? So what did Bob Mueller know, and when did he know it? This is now the new conversation, because top Republicans who I think, well, certainly 6 months ago were saying, let the investigation run its course. We got to get to the bottom of this. And we're honestly, I think, in part convinced that there might be something to Trump Russia, are now completely convinced it's a witch hunt, and now are seeing that the game was rigged from the very get-go. And they don't like it. The more that comes out, the worse it is. So what's MSNBC doing about it? What's CNN doing about it? Well, they're talking about Trump and some porn star, something that happened 12 years ago or whatever it is. You got that going on. But they're also, I think, Well, they're spinning this, right? They've got their people who are spinning it. So if Wolf Blitzer, for example, questioned a Philip Mudd, who is their top expert on the CIA and all that, and basically Blitzer's like, well, he asked him a simple, straightforward question. There's a bunch of memos missing. There's text messages missing. Like, what are we doing with all of this? Listen.
You know, Phil Mudd, a whole bunch of documents, pages, memos, emails are missing. How do you explain that?
This has nothing to do with documents, Wolf. Zero. We have a president of the United States who runs the executive branch. That is, he runs the FBI, the CIA, the State Department. Every time they disagree with him, instead of saying, I represent the American people by running the government, he says, let me persuade you Americans not to trust your government. Don't trust the CIA in Russia. Don't trust federal judges when they disagree with me. And now we're saying one side of the House representing President Trump saying, I want to further denigrate the U.S. government, persuade the American people that their taxes are going for wrongful purposes, instead of saying, I'm going to have a hearing with Democrats and Republicans and get to the bottom of this. This is not about documents. It's about persuading people that the investigation is inappropriate.
Gloria Borges is just bursting to get a word in. She's so excited about what's being said. You see what it... Did he even answer the question? Blitzy, Wolf Blitzy, is asking him a direct question. Hey, look, this kind of like doesn't look good. You got a bunch of stuff missing. What do you say? And he goes, well, this is just the Republicans trying to denigrate the good men and women of the FBI and the CIA and da-da-da-da-da. And I have two observations. For one, if you're being investigated, if you, John Q. Public, is being investigated by the FBI, and they come in and, you know, they usually raid your house or your office or wherever they suspect to find evidence of your wrongdoing. And they go in there and say, where's the files from these 6 months? Where are the files? Where are your files? Where are your records? And you go, whoops. I lost them. Yeah. Oh, never mind. Oh, we'll be back. We won't be back. We got it. You're fine. And my other observation is this. Man, I don't know. I went to college in the 1990s and late 1990s. I did 2 years at UCI. That was enough for me. And of those 2 years, every social science class, all I heard from these left-wing nut professors was how evil the CIA is, how oppressive the CIA is, what a bunch of statists and manipulators. And the FBI, even worse, J. Edgar Hoover, da-da-da. And now the FBI and the CIA are good guys. Pfft, right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is the email. And we are talking about this issue here with the missing text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. These are the two top investigators who are looking into the Clinton email scandal, and were colluding among themselves, figuring out ways to stop Trump, and obviously by implication, ways to help Hillary. Now, Strzok is the guy who actually drafted the statement that was later read by Comey. The initial draft, the difference between the first draft and the second draft, had language about her culpability, right? And the key issue is he changed. Peter Strzok is the one who changed the exoneration letter from saying gross negligence, which is a criminal standard, to extreme carelessness. Now, remember at the time that this statement was read by Comey and he said, really, there's nothing here. Sorry, you know, it's extremely careless. We talked about this extensively. There is no such thing as extreme carelessness under the law. It's not in the code. And when you look at when you look at how the code is written, you've got to set facts to law to figure out if there's enough grounds to charge somebody with a crime. And the examples that I and many others gave there's notable examples of people who have been charged with gross negligence for doing far less than what Hillary Clinton did. right? I mean, at any rate, the deliberate acts that led up to those emails being unsecured were significant. Most notably, of course, being her setting up her own email server that was basically unlocked for the world to get at. But it was a specific thing that she had requested her IT guy to do. So just one example. The world is looking at all this. And I'm, you know, the funny thing to me is, so Peter Strzok is the guy who drafted this memo. He's the guy who's sending emails or texts and possibly emails back and forth talking about how Hillary needs to, you know, we got to fix this election, basically. We don't want to be independent here. We can't let this crazy guy win. At the same time, what do we have? Well, I'll tell you. Weren't we supposed to be in impeachment by now? I mean, wasn't Trump basically going to be frog marched right out of the White House into the Senate? The Senate was going to be voting and holding court, and Congress was going to basically, you know, get Trump out. I mean, that was the narrative 6 months ago. The narrative was Trump is going to be out. Trump is done. He's smoked. He's history. And look at what's going on. Instead of that coming into play, what do we have? We have the ghosts of Obama administration Christmas past coming back to haunt the Democrats. Their narrative has not only unraveled against Trump, but their narrative that they have followed all along, their entire playbook, has been laid bare. And I don't buy this missing, you know, whatever, 5 months, 6 months of text. This just reeks of what happened with the IRS scandal. You remember Lois Lerner and others in the IRS who were conspiring basically against Tea Party groups to deny them a friendly tax status. And what happened? They lost hard drives. Just lost them. And the backup hard drives. They were prematurely, accidentally set for destruction and shredded. And we were all supposed to believe that, well, that's just, whoops, you know, I mean, things happen. Now, I know the government is inept, but it's just a little too coincidental, don't you think? So this stuff is good. It's heating up. I think you've got a lot of people who are very tenacious in the House and also in the Senate who are looking into this. In Congress, certainly, Nunez and Trey Gowdy are all over this. And at the same time, I really think that Republicans are realizing that the Trump agenda is a winning ticket. And they're realizing there's really nothing to Trump Russia, that's a bunch of hot air and nonsense. So the interest in Trump is waning, and the interest in, well, the FBI and Obama administration and Hillary Clinton is waxing. Not good for 2018. Now, we will go to John Wolf with the news. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
The phone lines are open now.
Right now?
Right now.
At 800-ABC-KABC. That's
800-222-5222.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, the voice of reason, the voice of common sense, national issues, local perspective. And our phone number is 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. Happy Monday. How are we doing? How's the week coming along? I know it's already 8:30. I'm hoping that we are all getting through our respective days, and hopefully many of you are on your way home, if not home already, and relaxing after a busy first day back after the weekend. My kids had the day off today, which is always fun. Some sort of teacher collusion day. They had to get together and plan their next protest. So anyway, the kids were home, and that meant a sleepover last night. Daniel had a friend over who is a great kid, but they were up till I think 11:30, and Daniel is wrecked today. He is just tired as tired can be. So I feel it. I feel as tired as he does. I've had a long day. But what do you do when your kids don't have, it's a school night. It's not a school night. Like, let's say it's the weekend. Do you let them stay up late? I think when you, once in a while, when you let them do it and then they feel the effects of it the next day, I think it's way better than to just tell them to go to bed and saying, you're going to be tired tomorrow. You know, once in a while, you got to let them know what it's like to actually be tired the next day. And then maybe, you know, because I'm pretty sure tonight he's already in bed, dying. So that was the plan. Well, I'll let you know if it works. All right. I told you that there are Republicans that are starting to really, I mean, and not necessarily Trumpist Republicans, but just Republicans on the Hill that are really beginning to see through this entire Trump-Russia mess and seeing the FBI as a collusive body that was working together to let Hillary off the hook so as to help her in the general election in the battle against Trump. Now, here's Representative Jim Jordan, Republican, Ohio, on the missing text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page today on Fox News with Harris Faulkner.
They're not just missing text messages from anybody. They're missing from two key people. Peter Strzok, who ran the Clinton investigation, interviewed Huma Abedin, interviewed Cheryl Mills, interviewed Secretary Clinton, changed the exoneration letter, the now famous exoneration letter, from gross negligence, which is a criminal standard, to extreme carelessness. Peter Strzok, who helped run the Russian investigation, interviewed Mike Flynn. That Peter Strzok, with all these text messages between him and Lisa Page, where they talk about Trump should not be elected president, we need an insurance policy, he should lose $100 million. To zero. Now we find out 5 months of text messages between these two individuals come up missing.
Ah, well, there it is. See, and I'll tell you, when you take this combined with questions from Blitzer, like, well, you know, Philip Mudd, a whole bunch of documents, pages, memos, emails are all missing. How do you explain that? And Mudd then goes on to just, and I shared this earlier in the hour, this clip, that's nothing to do with documents, Wolf, zero. We have a president of the United States, and then goes on to his talking points. When you have that going on, I'm going to tell you, I think if you're seeing some semblance of grilling happening of the usual apologists, right, for this type of behavior, when you see this kind of grilling, I think that this is, I don't know, it's very encouraging, and it certainly is a very different scene, has a very different feel than what is going on in what's been going on 6 months ago, where we basically had every inkling that Trump was going to be frog marched out of the White House. The net result of all of this, in case you're wondering where this fits into the entire big picture, is the Trump presidency is viable. It's viable. And when you marry this sort of doubt being placed into the entire setup leading up to Trump-Russia investigation, when you add that to the successes of Trump's first year, and for certain the successes that will come in his second year, all these stories about the congressional races and the midterm elections going Democratic, wildly Democratic, I think those conclusions are all very premature. So that is something to remember on this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'll be back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my lawyer, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy that you need to call if you've been in an accident, if you've been hurt, say you get rear-ended out on the freeway. You know, people doing crazy things out there on the roads, not paying attention. Bam, you get into an accident. What do you do? Well, what you don't do is just as important what you do. First of all, you don't call your insurance company. Don't even call the other person's insurance company. Get some good legal advice first. Call Sweet James and his team. These are the good people that will help you get through it and get you pointed in the right direction and possibly even help you. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. That is the phone number to reach James and his team. Remember, they are proven to have succeeded with many clients in the past, over $400 million collected in the last 13, 14 years or so. No recovery, no fee, right? Doesn't cost you any money up front. And all consultations, anytime you pick up the phone and call and get a consultation, that is free and confidential. So what do you have to lose? Nothing. Just your rights. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. All right, all right. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, there is some breaking news here. I've been reviewing quietly about these text messages. The Representative John Ratliff, a Republican from Texas, and Trey Gowdy, who is, of course, the Republican congressman who is usually front and center on all things questioning the government. I'll tell you, he's a pretty independent guy, certainly a conservative Republican, but he's been at the forefront of questioning the FBI on this Clinton investigation. He smells a rat. He's also the guy who's been working on the Uranium One and the Clinton Crime Family Foundation scuttlebutt. So anyway, him and Trey Gowdy are now releasing a statement. They believe that there's a secret society of folks within the Department of Justice that were working against Trump. Now, this is the DOJ also and the FBI. When I talk about the Department of Justice, that includes the Department of Justice is the umbrella organization under which the FBI falls. The FBI reports to the Attorney General, or the head of the FBI does to the Attorney General. So just to give you an idea. And this is based on seeing text messages that show collusion. Now, that is a word that the Democrats and now thankfully all of us are very familiar with because it has been used, if not overused, as it relates to Trump-Russia, right? Trump colluded with the Ruskies, or so we've been told. Instead, now these revelations here about all these text messages and showing this coordination between top agents who were, well, to say conspiring is not even, they're absolutely dedicated pro-Hillary people. And there's no chance that in the context of such a heated race where they really didn't want Trump to win would possibly deliver a recommendation to prosecute. So with all this said, there's something here, right? I mean, it's something here, and we understand it, and the more that we look at it, the more there is. When it comes to Trump-Russia, kind of the more we look at it, the bigger of a yawn we're all doing because there's just no there. I saw a story today somewhere in the mainstream media that At the inauguration, they were doing some reflective pieces. A year later, Trump's now been in office a year. At the inauguration, the FBI was watching a bunch of Russians, that the inauguration was crawling with Russians. I read the article, and the best I could tell is that there was a delegation from Russia that was led by the ambassador. And that's pretty common stuff. You know, when there's an inauguration, each country sends an ambassador or sends a consul general or somebody who's in the diplomatic corps. So I'm just, the headline is so persuasive, but then when you get to the meat of it, there's nothing there. But there's another point here, and that's, if these Democrats really wanted to get rid of Trump, they should have waited for him to do something really wrong. They really should have caught his hand in the cookie jar. And I'm not saying, that may still happen. But by pursuing this dead dog of a theory of collusion with Russia, it's just a nothing, right? Nothing burger, as Ted Cruz called it. I feel like Trump got a little bit of a cry wolf benefit next time they try to go after him for something. Because everybody's going to be like, ah, yes, another long shot harebrained theory that they're trying to get everybody excited about. And I don't think this time everybody's going to jump right into action and start doing what they need, start cooperating and playing, the Democrats' tune. I think there's going to be a lot more resistance to that action in the future. Interesting stuff. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Do I read this right? Is this actually happening? Bill Cosby performed at a comedy club Philadelphia Jazz Club. He played some music, played some drums, said some things. He said, I used to be a comedian. And he's trial starting soon. This is insanity. I think this is very bad optics to get up there and go on business as usual when you've got such serious and likely founded charges against you. But anyway, what do I know? I'm just a lawyer. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Another bit of interesting legal news. Have you seen this? The Goldman family. This is the family of the murdered Ron Goldman, who O.J., well, somebody else, maybe O.J., maybe not O.J., stabbed to death together with Nicole Brown Simpson. O.J.'s out of jail. He's working. He's got some gigs where he's earning money, some celebrity appearances. He's scrounging together a living. And as is typical with celebrities and celebrity culture, part of what drives these appearances is a certain amount of hype around his success, right? You can't show up looking like a hobo, so he's showing up, he's got glamorous women, and he's dressed nicely. And so what, predictably, and I completely understand, what are the Goldmans doing? They've got their, you know, $70-odd million judgment against O.J., and they are filing an enforcement action after enforcement action, trying to claw back as much of those earnings as they possibly can. And they are going to succeed with some of these things. They're going to, yeah, they're going to get some money. And O.J. is going to have to, O.J.'s got, there's two problems he has. One, he's got to make money in order to live. And two, he's got to keep the Goldmans away from it. And that's like, it's like swimming against the current. So I think this is, and this is, by the way, this is the justice, right, that Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman never got. And I know, you know, when you talk about the love a father has, you know, I cannot imagine, even, you know, and I grant, you know, it's an adult son. You never expect you're going to lose your kid. You hope and pray to outlive your children. And to have them lost in such a terrible, horrible way. I mean, even years later, still dedicated to pursuing O.J. Simpson, and good for him. But this is the problem. I give this example to clients. You know, I'll have a client come in, for example, and ask about, you know, pursuing a case. And I'll say, well, look, there's, you know, X amount of dollars in insurance money. And I don't really think there's more beyond that. And the client will look at me and say, what do you mean? I'm furious. That person changed my life. They ruined me. And I'll say, I agree with you. You're 100% right. But we're dealing with the defendant who is judgment proof. And what I mean by that is you've got a defendant who, you know, who, no matter how to what ends you pursue them, you could get a multi-million dollar judgment. You're never going to see a dime from it. You're never going to see a dime from it because that person has nothing. All they have to do is declare bankruptcy, and they never have more than $200-$300 in their checking account, maybe $1,000. You're never going to see the millions back. And I always say, look at OJ, had millions of dollars, was able to hide it, and very little money paid out to the Goldmans. From that wrongful death suit. So anyway, we are back on Thursday, 7 p.m. We're off tomorrow and Wednesday. Perfect. So Kings are on next two nights, and then we will be back Thursday, 7 p.m. It's been wonderful to be here. Thank you. You guys, let me tell you something. I truly believe this. You are the best audience, and I love you all, and I'm so grateful for all that you do to make this show great. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. People.